boardrooms and just gossip conversation. And I wish I had the skill he had to even remember what it was he said. But he said something that was just so gentle that turned the conversation away from that. And these two are great quality individuals, and that was just one example of that. So Kevin and Sandy, will you come? Yes. Thanks for joining us, guys.
What's that?
That's him.
That is Sandy saying that is him.
What a joy it is for Sandy and I to be here. And actually, before we tell you a little bit about the ministries we've been involved in the past 18 years overseas, we have a great video to give you a glimpse into the part of the world that we are about to step into again. We used to live in Thailand. We're heading back to Thailand. But have a look at our video representing the 40 countries of Asia Pacific.
There is a sound. Can you hear it? It searches for those that will listen. Drifting, distant, desperate. It whispers in the ears of those that believe. It shouts in the streets, straining to be heard through the overwhelming noise. Can you hear us? The collective cry of fallen humanity, devoid of a savior. Centuries have passed without hope. We live here, hidden in the faraway places. Our land, strange. Our culture, a mystery. Our hearts, empty. Our people cling to anything that resembles truth. But what we seek remains out of reach. Our brutal spirits on the edge of breaking. Our prayers unanswered. Our gods stay silent. We are the never reached. We are still waiting.
We hear a sound. It echoes in our ears. It wakes us in our sleep. A voice in the wilderness. A message 2,000 years old. A final command. Go. A simple but profound directive from a saving God. With our victory assured, we journeyed to the ends of the earth. We climbed mountains, trekked through jungles, landed on forgotten islands, searching. Many have received, but far too many still remain. Too many haven't heard. Too many don't know. This unfinished task is our urgent kingdom mission. Chosen. Seen. Heard. Called. Can you hear them? Nations. Cities. Tribes. People. They are the never reached. They've waited long enough.
There is a sound.
Can you hear it?
This day has been quite a many months in the making to schedule to be with you. And I think, Sandy, you had the privilege of hanging out with Heather at the Women in Ministry retreat, or should we call it advance? I don't know. But at any rate, we are thrilled to be here today with you. And honey, just greet the people, would you, sweetheart?
Yeah, it's so wonderful to be back. I think it's been, I think we calculated, what, about 10 years ago that we were here before. So a lot has happened in our lives. We've been to different countries and different ministries. But we just want to say thank you so much for going with us as we take the gospel around the world. Because you've been supporting us for many years, and we can't even say thank you enough.
That's true.
That would actually express how we feel.
We really are blessed to have you as our partners for many, many years now. And as we walk through this brief time to share about our ministries, we want to say a special thanks for Bonnie and the team up there for making us look really good today. Thank you for that up there. Yeah, let's express our appreciation to them. Wonderful to have you help us today through this. Before I actually launch into some of the projection there, Sandy and I, we pastored in Western Pennsylvania. We pioneered and planted a church in Elizabeth, Pennsylvania, where we pastored for 16 years before leaving the local church and entered missions. We, for 7.5 years, pastored an amazing international English-speaking congregation in Moscow, Russia. We had upwards of 60 different nations in our congregation every Sunday morning, and it's cold there. And we moved to Bangkok, Thailand. It's hot there. We pastored another amazing international English-speaking congregation, approximately 50-plus nations represented. Every Sunday morning, walking in, seeing the nations of the world gathered under one roof, provide an experience that has been. We then were invited to serve in Estonia, where we provided care and oversight for 120-plus missionaries in 7 different countries. We based out of Tallinn, Estonia. Then, 3 years later, here we are, another invitation from our Assemblies of God leadership asking us if we would consider a new assignment. And we felt God was in this decision we've made, moving back to Thailand. And that's kind of where I want to launch us into our presentation for this morning. If you can see, we are going to be in a small area, 5 different countries by the name of Peninsular Asia. You can see from the slide, there is 5 different countries, 236 million people. There you go. And thank you. And there are 5 different languages. We don't speak any of them. Because we primarily minister providing care, spiritual leadership, and oversight to more than 200 missionaries in these 5 different countries, Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar, again, Thailand, and Vietnam. And of these 236 million people, only 1.93% of them would identify themselves as believers.
I think the next slide shows the 4 major religions throughout these countries. And of course, Buddhism is the major religion in this part of the world. And then we have Hinduism, Islam, and animism, which is the worship of inanimate objects. Yeah.
Yes. Additionally, we do highlight some of our missionaries that we oversee when we're stateside. And in the country of Cambodia, we have a ministry there. It's actually called the Floating School. If you can imagine that, you can see, just go right ahead, Bonnie. Keep on going, sweetheart. Keep on going. You can see the floating school. We have, a couple of hundred children that are actually attending this school. Sandy and I have been there, and we've been waiting on the dock there when we see the kids coming from their little village homes, paddling in their own individual canoes, and moving to the next slide. You can see a picture of that pretty little girl there. She's one of the students. And they teach the children about Jesus in this school. And while we were there, we got in a boat and we left the school, and not far down the canal or the water, there was a Assembly of God church on water. If you can imagine coming to church in a boat every Sunday and enjoying time. And then you can see in the next slide, we have a young couple, Dareth and Tita Lee. They actually are Cambodian natives. They had to flee the country quite a few number of years ago.
They were children.
Yes, when they were just children, during the slaughter under the Khmer Rouge, they had to actually leave the country. Amazingly, Dareth was adopted by an Assembly of God family here in the United States. He went to Bible school, and he met Tita, his wife, another Cambodian national. The only 2 Cambodians in the Bible school, they met each other, fell in love, went back to Cambodia as missionaries. Isn't that cool? Now, that's a God thing. You can give God praise for that, yeah? That's awesome. In the next slide, you can actually see Ken Huff is our country moderator there over the ministries of Cambodia, and also has great involvement with many of the children's ministries that are there in the country.
Well, he gets to tell like the really upbeat part. I get to tell you the really dark part.
Yeah.
When we lived in Bangkok several years ago, we took a trip up north to the city of Chiang Rai, where we visited the White Temple. And I think the next slide will show this is such a dark place.
Yeah.
That just walking onto the grounds, around through the park area, on the trees would be hanging these skulls. That shows you the darkness. Mm. So to get inside the temple, you have to walk over this bridge. And underneath the bridge on both sides, you will see these hands. I don't know if you can see it on the screen, but these hands lifted up. Some of them have empty bowls in it. And these are indicative of wanting to be fed, so they can be reincarnated into their next life. Isn't that awful? When you get inside the temple, it is just the darkest place. There's another temple in the country of Myanmar called the Shwedagon Pagoda, and it's just equally as spiritually depressing. These are the places where our missionaries are trying to take the gospel to the people. Throughout the Buddhist world, in front of businesses and many homes, they have, right here. They have on the left-hand side, you see this golden spirit house. And there's a little Buddha inside there. And the people, the Buddhist people will bring food. They'll bring and they'll bring drinks. They'll bring a can of Coke, which is open with a straw in it. Or their favorite is Red Fanta. You wonder, why Red Fanta? Because it would indicate the blood, that they would be drinking the blood. And they go and they take this food and place it on there as a way of invoking good spirits and the blessings throughout their day, blessings for their businesses, that they will have a good harvest, that they would have, the spirits would come and they would appease the spirits. And I'll tell you what, the more I see in America, deep down inside, there is so much of this happening in our nation.
Yeah.
And you might say, well, that's really extreme. Is it really? It isn't. Because there are so many people that have been in high positions that are Satan worshipers. In our nation.
Yeah.
So don't ever take for granted what you have when you know Jesus. Aren't you glad you don't have to appease the Spirit, but that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us?
Thank you, Jesus.
We can't do anything to earn His good graces. He just loves us anyway.
Yeah.
No matter how bad we are, no matter what we do, we can never do anything for Him to love us more, and we can never do anything for Him to love us less. He's just already paid it all for His great love for us. So we would ask you to pray for us. We have prayer cards on our table back there. We would ask you to pick one up and pray for us. And you know, remember the missionaries that are going into the tough places that are trying to take the gospel, to bring the light in the darkness. For us, living in Thailand was such a joy because the people are so precious.
They are.
They smile all the time. They're so sweet. But so many of them are just steeped in the lies of Buddhism.
Yeah.
And on our table, if you're interested in praying for the Buddhist world, we have these little pamphlets, these little trifolds, and on the back it has websites where you can go and find out more about the Buddhist world. And if you're really seriously committed to praying for the Buddhist world, we have this little booklet called 15 Days of Prayer for the Buddhist World. So in our area, our area director has a challenge he calls it Change the Map.
Yeah.
And he wants to change the map of the 97% Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
And the 1.7% Christian, he wants to flip that around.
Yeah.
Because we need to understand that people in these dark areas really need the Lord. So we just want to say thank you so much for believing in us all these years, for trusting us to take the gospel to the lost and the dying in the Buddhist world.
We would say, Kap Kun Krap.
Khap khun ka.
That's Thai for
thank you. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Wow. It's such a joy. You know, we have called our experience together as we've served the Lord. We call it the Great Adventure. It's not hard for us to do what we're doing because we're passionate about it. We don't wake up every morning and say, oh man, do we have to go do this again? We wake up every morning and say, oh my goodness, we get to do this. It is what our heart beats for and what we were created for. And you deserve credit in part because of, number one, praying for us, which is the highest privilege we would have of any of our congregational members and partners, that you would say, Kevin and Sandy, we are praying for you. That's the highest priority and privilege that we could receive from you. But additionally, for many years now, you have actually given and you've invested in our work. And the fruit that we've seen over the years in Thailand, in Moscow, Russia, in Estonia, and now back to Thailand is, in fact, that you should receive honor and also recognition because you are our partners and you are enabling us to go do what God has called us to do. And I want to share with you from the Word of God. And by the way, thank you so much, Pastor Danny, that you would have us come and for trusting me to stand behind this sacred desk and to share the Word of God. I love to share the Word of God. And I pray that from today's message, some part of it, that the Holy Spirit would deposit into your spirit something of great value that you can latch on to and that will minister to you and encourage you and strengthen you today as we close out our service later in the morning. I'm looking in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 1, 2, and 6. And I'm reading at least these verses from the ERV translation. Maybe you've never heard of that. It actually is, ERV is the Easy Read Version. That's what that is. And often I will use that for my own devotions in the morning. And we see some powerful words here, and I will have for all of my scriptures, I'll have for projection for you so you can also follow along if you have your Bible. Wonderful. If you have a smart device, you can also follow along on that as well. Luke 9, verses 1, 2, and 6. Jesus called his 12 apostles together. He gave them power to heal sicknesses and power to force demons out of people. He sent them to tell about God's kingdom and to heal the sick. Verse 6, so the apostles went out. They traveled through all of the towns. They told the good news, and they healed people everywhere. And just from these verses today, I'd like to kind of help you know and help you understand that there are three things that Jesus does for all of his disciples. The first is this. Number one, Jesus called them. We see that in the very part of verse number one of Luke chapter 9. It says, Jesus called his 12 apostles together. So often in the church world, people who sit where you sit easily can develop a way of thinking or a mindset that the only people who are qualified to engage in or to do the work of the ministry are those who may have some formal training, those who maybe have a Bible college degree, who perhaps went on further into seminary, maybe have a Master's of Divinity or a PhD in ministry, and you might begin to think that those are the only people God can use. Yeah, Pastor, we're praying for you. We want God to use you, to anoint you. You should be praying that way anyway. And yes, Pastor Danny said amen to that, and his lovely wife, Heather. But I want you to know today, you don't need or have to have any formal training for God to use you in his local body. Can I hear an amen today? You know, and you know what? We could arrange a signal, a little kind of a subliminal signal today, and that is if you should ever see me during this message touching my right ear, that's a signal for you to say amen. You can do that, you know. And I welcome that because that'll help me preach a little better, you know. So you don't need the formal training that you think you may need to have, but God has called you to be engaged in the local body to serve in some capacity. That is so vital for us to understand. I love this quote from Arthur Glasser in his book, Kingdom and Mission. Here's what he said. From Pentecost onward, all Christians are to regard themselves as called to full-time involvement in the task of making Jesus Christ known, loved, and served throughout the world. All have been given spiritual gifts to make this service possible. Probably any pastor in a service like this would be shouting amen for sure, and he's wanting you to hear this truth today. The work of God is so important that it takes more than one person to have an impact that a local church needs to have. It takes collectively the body of Christ in that local gathering, active involvement and participation to see that influence go to a further extent. Can I hear an amen today? So Jesus called them, and if I could emphasize this today, and I want to say it from my heart to you, that the Great Commission is your commission. When Jesus said to go into all the world and preach this good news to all nations and to all people, he was speaking to you. He's spoken to you and I together so that we might be engaged and understand you. There are still people. There are millions and millions and millions of people who've never even heard the name of Jesus. Jesus called them. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says from the New Living Translation, but you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Now, I want you to know something. Sometimes when people are in a church listening to a sermon, you're thinking out loud maybe, but you're thinking, boy, I'm glad that this person next to me is hearing this because they really need to hear this. And I've heard it said one time, and I'll repeat it. You know, I'm not speaking to the person next to you. I'm speaking to you. This powerful truth, you are a chosen people. You are royal priests. You are a holy nation, God's very own possession. And I often say this verse is a cause and effect verse. Now, because you are these things listed in the first portion of this verse, guess what? I love this. As a result of this, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into wonderful light. I want you to know today that you can remember what you used to be, can't you? BC, before Christ in your life. And you remember how you used to walk, how you used to live, and the lifestyle that you chose, but somehow, some way, someone's prayers were answered, maybe even your own prayers, where God reached out to you and he drew you out of that dark place where you were or the path that you were on to get you back on the path he wanted you on. And you are able to see now that it was not because you made a clever decision to turn your life around. It can only be due to the fact that the power of God was at work in you and bringing you out of that darkness. And you know what? You can tell others about what Jesus did for you. Can you say amen? I know in the local church, there are two people. When we talk about witnessing and sharing our faith, there are two people who are petrified at that. First of all, the person who's sharing their testimony. And second of all, the person who's hearing the testimony. But can I tell you the easiest way for you to share your faith in Jesus is just to tell your story. That's it. Just tell your story. You don't have to know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation to be able to share about what Jesus did for you, how he did call you out of darkness and brought you into his marvelous light. So Jesus, first of all, called them. Second of all, another truth in these verses of Luke 9 is Jesus empowered them. So first, Jesus called them. Second, Jesus empowered them. This is the second portion of verse 1 of Luke 9. He gave them power to heal sicknesses and power to force demons out of people. You see, The power of God is necessary in order for us to see and have the results that we are believing for when we proclaim the gospel. The power of God is necessary for when we proclaim the gospel for the results to see or to come as a result of the preaching of that gospel. He gave them power, it says there. But it didn't just end there. You know, there are people, Christians today, maybe a church up the road or around the corner or in the next neighborhood or the next city. There are churches filled with people today who will be in heaven with us, but they do not embrace, nor do they believe, the teaching of the miraculous, the teaching of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, speaking with tongues, interpretation of tongues, working of miracles, prophecy, interpretation, gifts of faith, gifts of healing. They don't believe any of those are for today. They're Christians. They're believers. They're going to be in heaven with us. And they are, there's a name for those, that group of people. They are called cessationists. Have you ever heard that term before? Cessationists. They believe the miracles and signs of wonders ceased in the times of Scripture. But I want to bring something out today that will help you understand that that's not accurate at all. I love the prophecy that Jesus himself gave in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and you can see it for yourself. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. No, not the person next to you, you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and in Northside, and in the uttermost parts of the earth. Do you know that prophecy that Jesus gave was fulfilled in the next chapter of the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 4, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And Peter was about, as he received this anointing, Peter was about to get up and preach a sermon after that. And he did preach a sermon, and 5,000 plus people got saved. And look what Peter says in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Here's what he said. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Amen. But it didn't stop there, did it? "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The gift. "The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." No, those gifts and signs and wonders have not ceased. You can say amen today. And as being part of a fellowship, the Assemblies of God, we are a Pentecostal fellowship in our world today where we see the miraculous taking place in people's lives as a result of embracing this truth that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, even above our own imagination, because he is a miracle-working God. How many of you have children? You know, for us who are adults, we thank God that we are able to have this experience as adults. And even Sandy and I traveling to so many different countries, living in a number of different countries, and loving what we're doing. Do you know, that's great, great stuff, if I can say that. But the most important thing to Sandy and I that I could say is nothing else, also, is that our kids know and love Jesus and are also empowered by this Holy Spirit. Well, Kevin, don't you receive the Holy Spirit when you're saved? Most absolutely do, for no one can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. But when we are saved, we receive the Spirit for regeneration. Our eyes are open. It's revealed to us we're sinners in need of a Savior. We ask Jesus into our heart. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. It's for regeneration. But the second experience, and it's notable 4 or 5 times in the New Testament, there was a second encounter of the Holy Spirit, subsequent, of course, to our salvation experience, but nevertheless important for us to identify today. And that is, the first experience is for regeneration when we're saved, but the second encounter, the empowerment, is for that specific reason. It's receiving the Spirit for empowerment to live lives pure of heart, holy, anointed by God to do his work and to be used as his vessels through which his power might flow. Can I hear an amen today? You know, Pastor Danny, I'm sure many years in his pastoral ministry and serving here at Bethel, you may have heard him say, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And maybe not in those exact terms. But can I tell you, Satan also has a plan for your life. Did you know that? You're not going to shout excitedly about that, are you? Satan has a threefold plan for your life. Jesus identified it in his own words in John 10 and verse 10 when Jesus said, the thief, who's that? Satan comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his threefold purpose for you. But note there in this verse, is that a semicolon there, honey? You have to help me. It's a dot with a comma underneath it. Semicolon? I always get those confused. Semicolon. Jesus went on to say, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Let me add a little phrase after that. I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest measure. And this is what Jesus has in store for all of us who come to know him and who walk in his ways. He tells us, Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, he says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. When the enemy comes against us, as born-again believers, empowered by the Spirit, we have authority over anything that he tries to do against us. That was kind of a whisper amen. Can you give a little bit louder amen on that? Yes, he has given us, Jesus has given us an authority, and that's why we can put on that full armor of God, which Ephesians 6 talks about, and we can take our stand against the wiles of the enemy. Satan is a schemer. He is full of schemes, but God has given us power over him to tread upon him and to take authority over him in the mighty name of Jesus, not in our name. It's not in the name of our fellowship. It's in the name above all names, that name that's an all-powerful name, the all-powerful name. It's Jesus. Jesus. So what are we learning today? Jesus called them first in Luke 9. Secondly, Jesus empowered them. That's the second thing. And now, point number three, Jesus sent them out. He sent them out. I found this great quote. It is the greatness of a church is not in its seating capacity, but in its sending capacity. Now, that should stop and make us think. That doesn't mean that we send people, every person in the church, to another country. It doesn't mean that. I often tell congregations that Sandy and I said yes to God, and that's the key word, isn't it? Yes. Being willing to say yes to God. When you say yes to God, there are different things that can happen. Our yes to God took us across the sea. Your yes to God might, in fact, most likely, will take you across the street. I have to say this. The brother in the back there, I've forgotten, is it John? Yeah, I remember that's a miracle today right there. I remembered your name. When we were, thank you, Pastor Danny, you gathered us together to pray before the service today. And you may not remember this, John, but you prayed this today. You prayed in our circle of prayer before the service today that God would motivate us just to simply go across the street. That was your exact words in your prayer this morning. And when you said that, I went, oh, yes, because I knew that was going to be in my message today. So God wants us just to posture ourselves to say yes. And listen, when you do that, and I mentioned this earlier, when you posture yourself, your heart, your life, to say yes to God, that's when the great adventure begins. That's when you get on board with God and not invite God into your agenda for God to get on board with what you're doing, but is actually us humbling ourselves, submitting ourselves, and getting on board with what God is doing. A little bit different, isn't it? So Jesus sent them out. You know, you support a number of missionaries. And you know, God blesses churches that support missionaries. I just want you to know that. And by the way, that shouldn't be your motive. I'm going to give to missions, or I'm going to give to the church so I can get rich too. That's not at all the motive that we should have. What is our motive? Our motive for giving is because we love God. Our motivation in being generous and creating a culture of generosity in the local church is because we love God. And I have to tell you something. When you take care of what's important to God, God will take care of what's important to you. Understand that? If you take care of what's important to God, God will take care of what's important to you. One of our great pastors, Pastor Mark Batterson, he pastors a great church, National Community Church in Washington, D.C. I don't know, 5-6 sites he has, and quite a large congregation. He's also an author, has written a number of books. But this is a quote from Pastor Mark Batterson. He said, "When God blesses you financially, don't raise your standard of living. Raise your standard of giving." It might come as a shock to you, but do you know what? Sandy and I personally support missionaries. Personally. We have for years. God will draw us to a couple or to someone who we feel impressed of the Holy Spirit that we need to sow into their ministry, and we've been doing that for years. Currently, we're supporting a lovely Iranian couple who were refugees in Thailand, repatriated back to the United States in Amarillo, Texas, had a call to ministry, completed our global studies in the Assemblies of God, both husband and wife ordained, and both husband and wife are U.S. missionaries planting Farsi-speaking churches throughout the United States, and they're starting in Amarillo, Texas. They're our kids. We're going to probably support them till Jesus comes. It's so important, yeah. But you see, there's a difference between being missional and being a missionary. And I used to preach and teach, God has called everybody to be a missionary. But I've changed my way of thinking a little while ago. If that were true, then what that means today, when we close this service, you are to go home and put a for sale sign in your yard. How many of you feel inspired to do that today? See, I told you. And then after that, go into the attic or the basement or that place in the house where you have all that stuff that's still in boxes that has about that much dust on the top of it. Have a big yard sale and get ready to buy your one-way ticket to the country God is calling you to go to, where you will, the first year before you even do any ministry, the first year you will learn the language of that country. So you will be able to speak that language in a way that would be able to communicate the love of Jesus in their language so they can understand what you're saying. You want to come? So I don't think God's called everybody to be a missionary, but a little different in terminology. God has called everyone to be missional. To be missional. Let me give you a verse to help you understand what that means. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 from the Good News Translation. 1 Peter 3:15. But have reverence for Christ in your hearts and honor him as Lord. Here it is. Be ready at all times to answer anyone in the checkout line at Walmart, at the school bus stop, in your workplace, on the university campus. We can go on, couldn't we? At the post office. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you. If you can't do that, we should stop and pray right now. Everyone should be able to do that, to give a reason for the hope that we have in us. Yeah. So these truths, and I want to be sensitive to our time this morning, these truths, I pray the Holy Spirit will make them in your hearts to cause you to begin to think a little bit and to begin to make some steps in your own personal life that will be towards this being actively engaged in serving in ministry. I love these verses. I think these are my favorite missionary verses in the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them? Heard, they believe in him. And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Here again is what I referred to earlier today about this amazing partnership, the local church partnering with the missionary to go to do the things that God has called us to do. That's you're the sending agency in our fellowship, the local congregation. Well, Kevin, God is all powerful. Can't God just save everyone? Well, he could, but I think we would all acknowledge that those whom he saves would just be puppets on a string rather than them personally accepting and calling on him, engaging in a personal relationship. And here's a great verse from, a great quote from St. Augustine. He said, without God, I can't, but without me, God won't. Ooh, you can say ooh if you want. You don't have to say amen on that. Yes. Pastor Brian Houston, another quote, he said, we say we want to love others just as God loves us, but too often we end up choosing comfort and convenience over compassion. Listen, there are no lazy disciples in the body of Christ. There are no lazy disciples in the body of Christ. We have to be actively engaged and involved in the work that God has called us to be engaged in. Oh, but we want all the blessings we can get from God. That way of thinking I see sometimes in the body of Christ. David Platt, Pastor David Platt, here's what he said about that. We can't apply the privileges of Christianity to all Christians and the obligations of it to only a select few. Wow. I think it's okay. We should pray, Lord, I want you to bless me. We do need God to bless us, but the blessing that he bestows upon us in any way that we receive was not for the purpose of us retaining it for ourselves. It was so that we could be, in being blessed, a channel by which that blessing can flow to others. Yeah? That's so vital for us to latch on to this truth today. And then it says in Luke 9 and verse 6, it says this, so the disciples went out. And I comment often by saying, they actually did it. They actually did it. I don't know how long you've been attending Bethel Assembly, how many services you've been in. You may be recent attending the church. You may have come to the church many years. But how many sermons have you heard preached from behind this pulpit in the last 4 years from Pastor Danny, right? 4 years? The last 4 years, how many sermons? If you multiply 52 times 4, but, you know, give or take, you have guest speakers and you have incoming ministries. I wonder how many sermons have you heard preached from behind this pulpit? And of all of those sermons you have heard, how many active steps have you taken in obedience to those messages to do what the pastor told you you should do? Oh, you can say ouch if you want to say that. Yeah, years ago in our church in Elizabeth Township, I quoted John Maxwell. You've probably heard of John Maxwell, international leadership guy. He's also been a pastor years ago in California. But he made a statement. I quoted him, and I made a few people in my church mad. But I was glad at least I got some reaction out of them. And here's what he said. So don't get mad at me, okay? He said, most Christians don't need another Bible study. Wait, I'm not done. He said, most Christians simply need to begin to do what they already know. Let that just kind of you know, sink down in our hearts today. If we would just begin to do what we already know. I'm not saying we shouldn't be in Bible studies. We shouldn't read the Bible. We shouldn't learn and grow and develop and actively engage in our own personal spiritual formation process. But the reality is, if we could just begin to do what we already know. I'm going to have to wind down. I'm looking at my, I have two more pages of notes to get through here. Yeah. Love and obedience, and I'll kind of wrap things up with this. Love and obedience go together. Love and obedience go together. John 14, 15 says this, Jesus' own words, if you love me, keep my commandments. A few verses down, same chapter, John 14, verse 21. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. In the epistle, all the way, make a right turn near the back of your Bible. 2 John 6 says this, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. Today, if you are here today and you've never really taken the step to know this Jesus, you can. It might be that you have no interest in missions, and it might be because maybe you need to meet Jesus first before you have an interest in missions. Yeah. If you don't know him today, I just encourage you today that you would call on his name. We read in Romans 10, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's just pray right now. If that could be you, I don't know, as we bow our heads and just take a moment and ponder these truths today. If you could be here and you've never invited Jesus into your heart, you might even be a very religious person. You can be religious and still lost. But Jesus wants your heart. And today you can do that. You can give him your heart. If this could describe you today, and you're on the search for truth and purpose today, you've met the answer, and his name is Jesus. If you're hopeless today, I want you to know hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just if you would like, you can pray a very simple prayer with me today. Just pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I come to you now. I call on your name. I need you, Jesus. Cleanse my heart. Forgive my sin. I want to know you. I want to draw near to you. Come right now, Jesus, and begin to live in my heart today. I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I believe God raised him from the dead. And I proclaim, I am saved. I am saved in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, or you prayed that prayer in recommitting your heart to Jesus, Jesus came near to you and opened his arms and received you today as part of his family. And if that identifies you today, guess what? There's a party in heaven taking place right now. All of the angels and those who have gone before us are celebrating that today it could be one of you whose name has been written with God's eternal pen, and your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you are saved today. If that was a decision you made today, you can speak to your pastor, speak to those in your leadership of the church today that you made that decision today. I just want to thank Pastor Danny and Heather for the privilege today of being with you. And on behalf of Sandy and I, again, we want to say we love you. We praise God for you as a part of Bethel Assembly of God that are our partners sending us across the sea to go and do what God has called us to do. God richly bless you.
And as I said, we want to receive an offering for the Barners, so the ushers are going to get ready to come and receive that. If you're online, just click the other tab and put in there, you can specify to the Barners, and we'll make sure all that gets to them. And if you're not aware, they have a Facebook page for their missionary endeavors. And what should they search for that? Okay, so Kevin and Sandy Barner in Penn Asia. Maybe we might provide we'll post something in our Facebook page and maybe put something on the website. They put a lot of great stuff on there showing what's happening on the mission field. So if you want to follow them, stay in touch with them, that'll be a great way to do that. I think you also have an e-letter as well? Okay, so when they're back at that table, if you want to get those e-newsletters, let them know. Again, the more we're aware of what's happening on the mission field, it kind of feeds to our ability to pray for what happens there. So those are two great ways to get connected to them. But I want to pray with them first, pray for them before we receive the offering. If you guys would come back up here. Amen. And if you could extend your hands towards them. Father, thank you so much for Kevin and Sandy Barner and the many ways that you've served them faithfully. And we ask, Lord, that you would just double the things that you have done in their past. May there be a double of that in their future, Lord. That you would increase the numbers of people that are coming into your kingdom. Amen. That the missionaries that are under their care, that you would further anoint them and enable them to do even more so than what they've been doing. That you would increase their communities and these unreached people groups, nations, Lord, that they have mentioned that has like less than 2% that follow you. We're asking for a great increase in that. May you bring a wave of the outpouring of the Spirit throughout those nations. May you bring change in the governments that would allow a freedom in communicating. And may places like that White Temple, may that be, Lord, may we believe that that would be transformed to a Bible-believing church, Lord. May you do an amazing thing. And just continue to give Kevin and Sandy great wisdom and guidance. And may you prosper them, bless them, Lord. Provide for their every need financially, physically, emotionally, and in their family, Lord. Bring a great blessing upon them. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Ushers, if you would. Worship team, go ahead.